Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Azure podcast with your hosts Sam Foote
and Anne Armstrong.
If you're new here, we're a pair of Azure and Microsoft 365 focused IT security professionals.
It's episode 10 of season 5. Sam and I had a recent discussion around the Microsoft Customer Connection Program, a community of technical professionals from customers to partners and MVPs that interact with the Microsoft product teams around new features. Here are a few things we covered. What is the Customer Connection Program? What are the benefits of being in the CCP? What is my and Sam's experience of being in the various CCP programs? And how do you get involved?
We've noticed that a large number of you aren't subscribed. If you do enjoy our podcast, please do consider subscribing. It would mean a lot for us to, for you to show your support to the show.
It's a really great episode, so let's dive in.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Hey, Sam. I'm not doing too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. How's your jet lag? Are you back to UK time now?
I think I'm pretty good. I think maybe I'm a little bit tired in the evenings, but that might just be hard working, maybe. I could put down to that.
I'm not saying nothing. How was your time over with Microsoft?
Yeah, it was really good. The travel there and back was really good. Maybe a little bit chaotic on the way back because of the M25 part of that being closed. But generally not too bad. And yeah, the experience over there was great. Meeting up with other MVPs and the Microsoft teams.
Definitely worth going then.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of content that was really good to see and discuss. Unfortunately, I can't talk about any of it. Yes, it was good for that. It was also good to meet some of the some other MVPs, like some of our, you know, the ones in our sister company that we work for, as well as some of the other Microsoft security, you know, MVPs. There's quite a few of us over there. Not to forget the interaction with Microsoft and giving feedback, as well as meeting some of the people at Microsoft that, you know, I interact with quite a lot as part of being MVP or, you know, as part of the customer connection program.
Do you think it was a positive that it quotes clashed with Microsoft Secure? Because you were sort of there on the ground when all of that news landed. So I suppose you were almost in the right place to absorb that and, you know, and talk through anything with other sort of professionals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was because it was on one of the mornings. I think it was in the afternoon for the UK, wasn't it? But it was good to, I think there was a watch event. Well, not, I don't think there was. There was a watch event where all the security MVPs jumped into a room and watched it all together. And then we discussed, you know, what was being announced. Bear in mind, some of it we probably knew from our access as an MVP, but I didn't know about, you know, the announcement of Copilot for Security, you know, being going GA at the 1st of April. So there was some new stuff out of it. It also gave some context around some of the products and how they can help secure access to generative AI and things like that.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I can imagine it must just be an absolute, yeah, Microsoft week. That's for sure, right? Lots to take in and digest and, yeah, plan for.
Yeah, and there was lots of sessions. Some of them clashed. I targeted the ones that I wanted to do in person, I guess, and I can watch the other ones sort of back later. It's technically 3 days. I did miss the pre-day, unfortunately, because I didn't realize it was on because I was traveling. But those 3 days of just, you know, compacted, events or sessions and, you know, AMAs and things like that with the product groups. So it was good.
Nice. Yeah. Sounds really fun. What are we talking about this week?
So we're going to talk about the CCP, the Microsoft Customer Connection Program. I think we've mentioned it a couple of times on a few episodes. And now I think it's probably time to talk about it. It's not really it's not a product or anything like that. You know, it's not something you kind of use. I guess it's a, well, it's a community in some form. So, so yeah, it's worth talking about because it's definitely a lot of value there.
Okay, yeah. So should we just sort of start from the top? You know, what is the CCP, and you know, and what's it there to do?
Yeah, so the customer connection program or programs kind of started, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was. I think I was told once I was over at Redmond, and I think I've been in it for 3 of those 5 years, which is insane thinking about it. But yes, so the customer connection program is a community, a environment. That is, you know, formed of technical professionals with a the same interest area. So we talk about sort of security as an example. You know, where you're able to discuss between each other any issues you might have, not really like from a support perspective, but there may be some like gotchas and things like that you might want to just ask the community for. But also, it's also access to the product groups within the sort of areas that or the program that you're in, and be able to give feedback to them directly around the good, the bad, the nice to haves kind of thing. And it's also the mechanism, or at least one of the mechanisms, to get onto some of the private previews for some of the new features coming out on for the products. So some of the areas, some of the customer connection programs that I know about, because I'm sure there's probably a few others out there, is that you've got the security connection program. So that's dealing with the Microsoft Defender XDR suite, Microsoft Sentinel, Defender for IoT, Defender for TI, Defender for EASM, and Azure Network Security. That's the one that I'm kind of mainly in. You've also got the Microsoft Entra Advisors, so kind of the customer connection program for the identity side of things. You've got the Management Customer Connection Program, so that's looking at Windows, Intune, and the the family of Intune products like SCCM, etc. And then finally, the only one I know about is the Data Security and Privacy Customer Connection Program. So that's looking at all the Purview and Priva sort of solutions out there. So that's kind of the four there that I know about. And yeah, as I said, it's that's kind of what it is, and it's ran by a team within Microsoft. Shout out a couple of names, like Christina, Kelly, Pablo, and a few others. So yeah, shout out to those guys and girls for setting it all up and looking after us in there.
Yeah, it does feel like the team at Microsoft. I think I've only been part of it for, this will be my second full year, I think. And I think the maturity they've got of their process is just, it's like a well-oiled machine, in my opinion. Because there is a lot that flows through. I mean, we're mainly part of the security connection program, right? But there's so much that flows through there. Mm. So many new additions, so many new product features, discussions, surveys, feedback sessions, right?
Yeah, and there's so many products, especially within the Microsoft security one, there's so many products out there with product groups and, like you said, features being released, even just for like Defender for Cloud, there's been, there's normally 4 or 5 new features being released at the same time, let alone, you know, all the other ones out there. There's definitely a lot sort of going on there, and a lot of feedback, you know, being requested from the teams there.
Yeah, exactly. It's constant, isn't it? You know, and yeah, I think it's a really, I think the collaboration that happens in that community as well is a really positive thing to see. You know, their posts that they put up get so much engagement. You know, there's so many professionals on LinkedIn as well that really represent, you know, really represent the program and are really sort of proud to be part of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's within there, there's because it's all based on Microsoft Teams. So there's a Microsoft Teams channel, Teams team for it with various channels in it, and there is a lot of discussion channels. So you can talk about threat hunting, you know, analytic rules, defend for cloud, defend for identity, etc. And what's recently happened is, some of the MVPs that are in that space have been able to now become the sort of discussion leads in those areas, so they can start trying to get discussions going in those areas or help answer some of the questions alongside Microsoft. So it's bringing the rest of the community sort of together, I guess.
Nice. So yeah, can you talk about some of the benefits of being sort of part of one of the CCPs or all of them?
Yeah, so I kind of talked about some of them, and that's, you know, having access to the private previews, you know, so you can see the products in your test environments, or if you want to, some of your production environments. I guess it depends on what type of preview, you know, what's happening within the preview. So you get access to that, so you're able to understand what's coming, being able to prepare potentially for, you know, its release. And that could be, you know, it's a new feature that you really want for your organization, and you can, you know, get ready for it, and or, you know, build the documentation you might need internally for it ready. Maybe if you're, you know, if you're an MVP, then you can see that stuff coming ahead, and you can get prepared to talk about it once it turns up in the public domain. Other parts are, of course, like you said, the community, being able to talk to other IT professionals in your same sort of in your same profession, in your same sort of interests. So being able to ask a question and see what other IT pros are doing around that issue. Maybe you find that everyone else is on the same issue, which then sort of leads to the next thing that there's a benefit, is that feedback loop back to Microsoft. So, you know, Microsoft are monitoring, you know, these conversations. You can, when you ask questions, you know, Microsoft can come back from the product group to say, you know, this is, you know, the reasoning why something might not be the way it is. But also as part of some of the calls, you know, they ask for feedback about a feature, about the feature that's maybe in private preview, or something that might be, you know, coming in, you know, they're thinking about, you know, creating. So you get to sort of give that feedback at every sort of step of that deployment process as well. And then, of course, the most important part is the recognition of your contributions to the community, to the calls, to the feedback, you know, is getting that swag, you know, as we all want and crave. So you get digital badges, as well as the CCP team also, depending on the level of the level you are within the community, you then get some physical stickers, badges based on, you know, those badges that you've received. There are some other benefits as well as for helping give feedback and being contributing. So yeah, it's probably the main things, which is absolutely plenty in itself. Being able to communicate with Microsoft product teams about what's good and what's bad, what needs tweaking is great.
Does everything flow through the private previews? You know, all new product releases and sort of updates and changes?
So I think most of it does. I know there are some features that don't. I've know of some features that haven't, that have just gone straight to public, you know, public preview. And that might just be because it's either a minor change or it's something that has been tested and just needs to, you know, it's safe enough. It's been tested enough to go out that far, straight out to public preview. But yeah, majority of things do go through private preview, and sometimes in this community there might be a very limited preview. So even before, you know, the wider sort of private preview from the CCP, sometimes there are the occasional sort of sessions around that as well.
Nice. So yeah, can you talk a bit about your experience of being part of the CCP?
Yeah, so as I said, I've been in it for, I think, 3 years now, which is insane. It feels insane to think about. But yeah, my experience has been always positive. You know, it's being able to be able to go onto the team's, you know, channels and ask questions, or, you know, even, you know, respond to people's questions, you know, on a view, either an opinion or assisting people with, you know, links to documentation, things like that, is great. I love being part of the private previews. Maybe people, some of the listeners that have sort of, when I talk around some of the stuff, I'm always seem to be on the bleeding edge of technology, especially around Microsoft. So being literally at the edge as it's coming out, is where I, you know, where I live and breathe. So I really do enjoy, you know, joining those and giving the feedback. You know, I have seen my feedback being, you know, heard, and then seeing it actually being, you know, maybe a feature change, or a modification to a feature. I've seen that, you know, being done and actually being released, which, you know, shows that process is, well, for me, it's just great. And yeah, just being able to communicate with the product groups, I mean, being able to talk to them as, you know, directly is great without having to go through, you know, various other sort of ways. I don't know which other ways you can give feedback. It might be through your, you know, your account manager, and things like that. But this is actually talking directly to the product groups, and getting those positive or constructive feedback, you know, back to them. And yeah, I mean, I've been there for 3.5 years, and, well, 3 years, I should say, not 3.5, but I don't see myself, you know, leaving it at all. You know, it's there to stay with me. I mean, it's just another part of my day to day in some form now. What's your sort of experience been, Sam, with the sort of year coming up to, well, this has been your second year?
Apologies, it's just had an issue with my microphone. I think that it's great to see new changes and features being released. I think there's a distinct advantage, like you say, when you understand what the changes are that are coming. That's really helpful. Sometimes I think it can be a bit overwhelming because there is quite a lot going on. And I think you need to, for me anyway, I need to sort of focus in on what I truly care about and are passionate about, if that makes sense, right? Because I'm like, you know, oh, look at this new feature of product Z that, you know, I'm not even really that focused on, or, you know, that interested in, if that makes sense, right? I don't know, I don't know if this makes sense, but I like it when people in the community are talking about a feature and they're giving feedback, and you might have the same thoughts, and it's sort of validating your own experience and opinion, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes, because if you're working with these products that are released, if you're not part of a private community, you're just getting fed these updates, right? And until you start to use them for the first time, maybe in your business or with a customer, you don't really understand how they work or the thought process that you should have behind, you know, different parts of it. You know, if you've got a frustration with a piece of, you know, cloud software, you don't know whether it's your lack of experience or whether that's a legitimate, like, you know, user experience issue, or there's a bug or something like that. So it's great to see when you're using these tools and maybe you do go on to like a feedback session or you talk with other people in the community, you will get other people's opinions and feedback flowing in. Sometimes you won't agree with that. You might have your own opinions, but other times it's good to validate your thinking and maybe also where there are gaps and new opportunities. You know, what are the edges? You know, how far can a certain feature really, really take you? You know, because sometimes we see new features which improve the way that we've done things in the past, but then you review them and you go, actually, that's not quite ready for me yet because edge conditions 1, 2, and 3 aren't met for me yet. You know, so it gives you an ability to benchmark it ahead of time. I'd say I don't, except for the podcast, I don't particularly produce much other content, but I could see that it'd be very valuable for somebody that wanted to make content that lands when things go public preview. You'd have all of that previous time and to prep all of that before, you know, the sort of embargo is lifted and you can start talking about it publicly. So, you know, do you want to build relationships with people at Microsoft? Do you want to see the new stuff that's coming out? Do you want to be able to give feedback back into it? Do you want to be able to get some swag out of the other side of it? Like, except for the time effort that you've got to put in, I don't really see a downside if these are technologies that you use on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and you don't have to be, you know, obviously if you're the more you're involved in the community, the more, you know, product previews and feedback you give back, you know, the more, you know, that community sort of benefits from. But you don't have to be doing 3, 4, 5 previews at a time. Like you said, it can be, I can see your point around it can be overwhelming around the amount of discussions, calls, the product previews in there. But as you said, you've kind of got to focus yourself into what areas you work in and what areas are you interested in. You know, maybe for a couple of months, maybe you are only doing, you know, a product and looking at what's coming. It might be that there's a product, like you said, an update, a feature being released that you're very interested in.
Yeah.
Take
exactly.
Example, like the cloud PKI, you know, I was part of that private preview and it was in this, you know, one of these communities that we could see it and test it out. That is now public, so I can talk about it. But yeah, you know, being able to do that and then think about how that can benefit customers, how it fits within organizations, you know. And then, like you said, once it's released, you can then go, "Hey, did you know about this? It does all this. It's, you know, it's this, you know, all this cool things, and this is why you should, you know, consider it." You're right, but at the same time, you don't have to be sort of dedicated to it per se. You can just pick up what you need to. It's not a as far as I'm aware, it's not anyway. It's not a you know, if you're not active for a long time, then you get sort of kicked outside of things. I think you have to be active, you know, within, I think they do reviews every, it might be every 3, 6, or 12 months. Just check that you are still active or if you still want to be part of it. You have to update your profile.
I think it's every year.
Yeah.
I've just had mine come through. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just saying, hey, do you still want to be here? If you don't update, then we're gonna take you out just to sort of do a yearly tidy up. But it's not saying, right, you have to do five previews every quarter and things like that.
Yeah, and I would, you know, when I say it can be overwhelming, the amount that's there, I don't think you'd want less, if that makes sense.
No.
But I think, like you say, it's just something that you have to put some sort of guards in place about how much time you want to spend on the community. And I suppose that's different for everybody. But yeah,
I need to work on that.
The fact that you can just pick it up, you know, interact with the bits that you want to interact with, and then put it down. You know, if you go on holiday or you want to take a break, you know, then you've got the ability to do that.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I do need to work on my making sure I stay focused with it all. Because I do like to see it. I do see all the new things and want to play with all the new things.
Yeah, exactly. So, Alan, I suppose the big question is, how do you get involved? Who can join? How do you join?
Yes. Okay. So, to be able to join it, you have to do a special handshake with somebody. I mean, no, I'm joking. So you have to have, it's probably seemed as obvious, but you have to have an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement in place and I think this is with either with yourself as an individual or with the organization that you work for. So if you don't have one in place, then the CCP team will look to get one of those drafted up and sent over to be signed. And that is, in a sense, so you can't talk publicly about any of the content within that customer connection program, you know, what's happening, that anything that Microsoft deem is, you know, under NDA. Quite a lot of the calls and the sessions are under NDA at the time until they go, you know, public preview or announced. So that can take a little time, but to be fair, I think a lot of customers may already have an NDA in place with Microsoft, because they might be having, you know, they might be already, they already do, you know, they already got their license, you know, they're already discussing, you know, them with, you know, their licensing, or, you know, with issues they might have, or, you know, there's probably already, what I've seen is a lot of NDAs already in place. It's probably only from an individual perspective that you may not have one if you're a smaller organization, or, you know, a one or two person, you know, company. That might be the place where you may have to, you know, get the NDA signed individually there. But generally, I think sort of large, you know, medium to large enterprises generally have an NDA with Microsoft anyway. But the customer connection program will ask, well, go and get that checked. If not, again, they can't find, you know, they can't find it, or it's, you know, somewhere else within the organization, you know, Microsoft organization, then they're put in a, they send over an NDA in effect for it to be signed by the business or, you know, individually. And then to even get to that point of them checking, you just have to sign up to one of the Microsoft forms, which is at aka.ms/joinCCP. Nice and simple. And that form allows you to sign up to those four that I talked about. So the data security and privacy customer connection program, the management CCP, the Microsoft Entra Advisors, and the security connection program. And then you just start filling that out where you're located, what's your relationship with Microsoft. And then you can go from there. And as I said, probably at the start, or will be in, you know, the intro, is that it's a, you know, it's not just Microsoft partners or ISVs, you know, independent software vendors, or Microsoft employees as well, or MVPs. It is customers as well. You know, it is all of, you know, all of us as a community there. So there's a lot of different perspectives there.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks for that overview, Alan. That was really good. Anything else that you want to add?
No, hopefully I've done it justice. So hopefully I've done okay if Katie or Christina are listening. So we'll see. But yes, no, it's, I don't think there's too much more to say. Obviously, I can't really talk about the content, the actual content inside, because it's all under NDA. But yeah, it's definitely worth getting into it. And like you said, myself and you are in it. So, you know, we help with the community as well. So come join us. Come say hi.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much, Alan.
Okay, so Sam, what's the next episode?
That's a very good question, Alan. That is a very good question. I don't currently have a next episode. I'm going to have to think off on the spot. I didn't put it in the notes for this for this episode. Give me a second, and I'm just.
Was you going to do one about Key Vault? At some point.
Had we not done, yes, I think we talked about that previously, didn't we? Yeah, I'm going to go for Key Vault then. As long as we don't have one on Key Vault already. I don't think we do, actually. I'm going to do an episode on Key Vault. If you've never heard of Key Vault before, it's a way to store your keys, secrets, certificates in Azure. So it's a hosted service inside of Azure. I would say it's more developer focused than anything. The way that you would interact with it, get access to those keys and secrets. It's also integrated with a huge amount of other solutions inside of Azure. I'm not sure if I'll go through all of those. Maybe I will. I don't know. Try and find as many integrations as I can. But yeah, I'll do an episode on Key Vault, some of the benefits, and it's... To me, it's kind of one of those no-brainer types of services in Azure. So yeah, I'll take us through that next time.
That's cool. Yeah, we use it quite a lot, don't we? So that'd be good. Okay. Cool. So did you enjoy this episode? If so, please do consider leaving us a review on Apple or Spotify. This really helps us to reach out to more people like you. If you have any specific feedback or suggestions, we have a link in our show notes to get in touch with us.
Yeah, thanks very much, everybody, for listening, if you've made it this far, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, thanks all.